But the Gemara will explain in a few daf that why is this an exception? The worker has the ability to, with a shvuah, only with a shvuah, he has to take the oath in Beis Din that his higher wage is indeed the correct wage. So why is that true? We'll get to that. But this is also the period of time in which he has this right. The Chazal, the sages, gave him the right to make this claim. He only has the ability to make this claim in the day or night, depending on whether he's a night or day worker. That period of time, after he concludes his work, that period of time, he has this right to make this claim. And after that period of time passes, he no longer has this right to make that claim and be able to collect what he claims is the correct wage. Okay, so those are the two, the night worker and the day worker. They're supposed to be paid immediately after that day or night period, immediately after they're done finished working. Okay, continuing the Mishnah. Sacher shows, gove kol alayla. Let's say he doesn't work the entire day or night period. He works for just part of the night. The Gemara will go back to this part of the Mishnah, exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about a night worker, a day worker, but the Mishnah says he works part of the day or night. He doesn't work from sunrise to sunset or sunset to sunrise entirely. His time to collect, the appropriate time to pay him is extended from the night afterwards and the following day as well. We'll see why that is. Continues the Mishnah. Sacher Shabbos, Sacher Chodesh, Sacher Shana. Let's say you hire a person for an entire week. A Shabbos means entire week. Sacher Chodesh, you hire him for an entire month. Sacher Shana, you hire him for the entire year. Sacher Shavua, you hire him for the entire seven-year cycle. Yotze Beyom, so it's all going to depend. What is the critical time? When is the time in which you're going to have to pay him? If he finishes his work, he happens to finish his work. He's been working you for years, maybe, or days, weeks. So if he finishes in the daytime, gove kol hayom. So the time in which the employer is should be paying him is the remainder of that day, which he finished working. And if he fails to do that by the end of the day, then he's transgressed the prohibition of not paying his worker on time. Yatza balayla, but if this worker happened to have finished his work, he finishes his work, worked for a month, and he finishes his work in the nighttime, so gove kol alayla. So his period of time that he should be paid is the remainder of that night. And if those few hours remaining in the night pass, the owner, the employer fails to pay him. So, yasa balayla, gove kol yom b'chol alayla. Sorry, that if he has the rest of the night and the in day going forward to pay him, and if he finishes in the middle of the night, so the employer has the remainder of the night and the following day until nightfall the next day to pay him, and he fails to do that, the employer has transgressed the prohibition of failing to pay his worker on time. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows. Tana Rabbana, the rabbi's time. Menai l'sachar yom shegova kol alayla. How do I know that a day worker, he's to collect his payment in the entire night? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Lo salim pula sacher idzecha at boker. You should not leave over the wage of your worker until the morning. So, okay, that's the Pasuk. Uminai la sacher laila shugava kol hayom. And how do I know that the sacher laila, that he is the night worker, that he collects the entire day afterwards? He finishes his work at sunrise, and the time to collect is the entire day follow. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Yomo titin scharo, on his day you shall give his wage. Okay, so the Gemara asks the basic question. We haven't really gotten explained why this is the matchup over here. Ema ipcho, why, let's say the opposite. Let's say that the day worker you know, as he leaves, as his day's over, that's the appropriate time to pay. And if you fail to pay him as he leaves, ready to go home at the end of the day, at that point, the employer has transgressed the prohibition of not paying his work on time. Maybe on time is at the moment he's done finished working. Or, you know, or maybe the night worker. Maybe the night worker, the appropriate time to pay the night worker is at the end of his work, at night. Why is it that the day worker, he's really the time to pay is the night afterwards, and the employer has that whole time, the night afterwards, and only at the after the night passes, the employer has transgressed, and conversely, the day worker, the day worker, that he has the night afterwards. Why is that the setup? So the Gemara says, "Chiras ena mishtalemes ela b'sof," that renting, whether you rent land, you rent a person in this case, you rent his, you know, his work. So there is no monetary. It's the monetary obligation to pay him and have a debt to him is only realized after he finishes his work. So it can't be that the Torah is saying, as he finishes his work, you should have paid him in the time that he's worked. The only monetary bind that I have towards paying him is only after he completes his work. So if he completes his work at the end of the day, so it can't be that the Torah is saying you should have paid him during the day. At no point during the day as he's working is it realized my obligation and a real debt that I have towards him. It's only after he completes his work. Well, that's already nighttime because he finishes as the day sets. So then it's nighttime. So now nighttime is really it's the obligation to pay, and my debt is realized. So then it makes sense that it must be the pasuk, the verse that says that don't let the wage stay overnight. You have to pay him. So that must be the person whose my obligation to pay him has only become realized as the night started. And now the pasuk that says don't let the night pass without paying him, it must be for the day worker. And conversely, that if the night worker, my obligation to pay him only is realized at the when he finishes working as the day breaks, and the day began, and so biyomo titein scharo, that pasuk, the verse that was stated in Sefer Devarim, so that's the verse that is talking about. So biyomo titein scharo, the person whose my obligation to pay him has only become realized in the daytime, the person who worked at night. So I have the entire day to pay him, and if I fail to pay him by day's end, then I have transgressed the prohibition. So that's why it's matched up like this. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues. The Rabbi said, "Mimash meshenem lo salin plo sacher idicha." From the fact that the Torah says lo salin, you should not leave over the worker's wage with you. You know, salin. So the word sullen, to lun. Lun means to stay over the night. We have it in other places as well. So lo sullen. So that's what the word means. Don't stay over, don't let it stay over the night. Any yodea, says the Gemara, any yodea sha'ad boker? Of course, then the verse continues, ad boker, until the morning. Well, of course, don't leave it over during the night. So why does the Torah need to go ahead and add until the morning? Of course, until the morning. That's when the night ends. Matam elomar, why is the Torah saying ad boker? Why is it saying ad boker? Melamed she'inu over ella ad boker rishon bilvat. To teach me that this prohibition of don't let the wage stay overnight, don't delay it by having it stay overnight, is only the first morning. The first morning, you have your day worker we're talking about. So you have the night afterwards that you should be paying him. If you fail to pay him after the night, you've transgressed this prohibition. What happens if you fail a second night, a third night? You continue to delay payment. Then that is not you're not continuously transgressing the prohibition of this pasuk. Okay. But the Gemara asks, "Mikan ve'ilachmai." So, if this clearly the Gemara says this is not something you're transgressing continuously, what are you? Are you transgressing anything continuously? So the Gemara says, "Amarav, yes, over mishum baltasha." You've transgressed not this verse, as we've pointed out, but you've transgressed something else called baltasha. Don't delay. not lo salin. Salin means lun. The word lun means to stay overnight, but another transgression called don't delay. Okay, so the Gemara says, this is a little strange though. We usually have, you know, prohibitions, lo sases, they come from psukim. The Gemara just said a prohibition not connecting to any pasuk whatsoever. There must be a pasuk. You can't just make up some prohibition. You can't just make up some lo sases. Amar of Yosef, my kara. What is, where, as Rashi says, my kara, the second to last Rashi on this Amid, my kara. Heicha remiza bal tasha. Where is it hinted to in the Torah, this prohibition of bal tasha, of don't delay? What pasuk are we talking about? Says the Gemara, it's really hinted to in Mishle, in Proverbs. It says, Al tomer l'riecha leich v'shov, umachar etein v'yesh itecha. Don't say to your friend, go and come back tomorrow, I'll have what's yours, it'll be yours. So that's a hint to that the owner, it's a hint to the employer telling his worker, you know, pushing him off and continuously pushing him off. So that's where the Torah is saying, don't say that. Okay. So it's always a problem to delay payment. Okay, that's what we see. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbi's time. Ha'omer l'chaveru, say v'schor li po'alim, shneihem einan overin mishum baltalin. If I say to my friend, hey, go out and hire workers for me. Okay? So he goes and hires workers, and I don't pay the worker on time. He works for me during the day. These workers that my friend went and hired for me, they work for me during the day. I don't pay them by the night afterwards, as we explained. So neither me or my friend who hired them for me have transgressed the prohibition of lo salim, of not paying him at some point during the night after they've worked. Why? Lefi shelo sachran. Ze lefi shelo sachran. Because I never hired them. I just told my friend to hire them. Vizeh, and my friend, he's not over. He hasn't transgressed anything. Lefi she'ein pulaso etzlo. Because it's not, he's not, they're not working for him. They're working for me. So the Gemara goes and clarifies what exactly is this case. Hey chidami, what is the case? Ida amr lehu scharchem alai, scharo olavhu. If my friend, the person I tell, go and hire workers for me, if he then says to these workers, you know, all the payment, it's on me. I'm going to pay it. I'm going to pay your wage. So he's the employer. So he has the prohibition. If he fails to pay them, then it's... He's the basic employer, like any time. And how do I know that the payment that he has to pay them if he says those words? This is the Bryce explains the Tanya. If I hire someone and I don't tell them, you know, I say, can you work for me? And I say, oh yeah, this is my house. Can you do some work on it? And I'm really pointing to someone else's house. Okay, it doesn't matter. I have to pay him. I have to pay them. It doesn't matter that they're not working exactly for me. I've told them, I've hired them, and I'm an employer just like any other employer. So, but the Braisa continues, nosin los charo mishalem. You have to pay him full I have to pay that worker his full wage. V'chozer v'noto mi balabayis. But I have the ability to go to that owner of the house and say, look, you've benefited from the fact that I hired workers to work on your house. Can you give me? You have to give me something for what the benefit you've gained from this work, mashehano oso. So what I've benefited from you. So if that is the case, so where I tell my friend go hire workers for me, and my friend says, you know, he says to these workers, I'm gonna pay you guys. So he is the employer. So he has this prohibition. How can it be that he won't have the prohibition if he fails to pay? So lo tzricha, no. The real case is damar lo scharchem al balabayis. No, the case is where my friend doesn't say, I'm going to pay you guys. He says, the owner, I'm not hiring you. The owner is going to pay you. Okay, the owner will pay you. So scharchem al balabayis. So that's the case that neither I never hired these people, and my friend isn't accepting to pay them. So neither has transgressed this if I fail to pay them, the workers, in the due time. Okay. Yehuda Mar Miremar Amar Le L'Shamei. Yehuda Mar Miremar says to his says to his servant, Zil agarli poalim. So he says, go, similar thing, go and hire workers for me. Ve'emalahu scharcham al balabais. And tell them, don't tell them that you're going to pay them. Tell them that the owner will pay, meaning me. Tell them, that's what he's saying. Tell them that the owner will pay. So that neither, again, that neither, if we fail to pay them at the daytime after they're finished, that neither, by the daytime after the finish, that neither have transgressed the prohibition. So just to take a step back in a second, and it sounds like very funny, that is this some kind of loophole to get out, you know, not paying your workers at all? Just very simple. You know, anytime I don't want to pay my workers, I'll just say, I'm never going to hire them directly, I just find someone else, and he says these words that he's not hiring them. No, that's not the case. For sure, even if I tell someone, go hire workers for me, but say, don't say that you're going to pay them, say that I'll pay them. Even though it's true, you're not going to be, as the Gemara says, if I fail to pay them at the daytime afterwards they're finished, I am not have transgressed this pasuk of Lo Salin, of failing to give it by the morning. But but I for sure have an obligation to pay them, there's no question. And as Tosafos explains, that the reason that these Amoraim we find even doing this, they're not getting out of doing something, doing something that is not scrupulous. They are worried that it could be that they're going to transgress one the pasuk of Lo Salin, which is as we said, it's they're doing only the first night. If they fail to pay the first night, then you have transgressed the prohibition. But afterwards, we've already explained that there continues to be a prohibition to pay, and on that prohibition too, on failure to pay, on delaying to pay. But on that prohibition, it's only if you're not able to pay. If you're busy, so then it's not called you're delaying. So they're just setting up a way that, of course, there is a binding obligation, a monetary obligation to pay. But in terms of the isurim, in terms of the negative commandments that you're confronted with, the employer is confronted with, so this is a way to save them from these severe issues of these negative commandments. But in terms of a legal, monetary, binding, like any debt I would have, there's no way that doing any of this gets you out of that whatsoever. And, okay, the Gemara continues. Marzutre, Maremor Marzutre, Agri Lahadadi. Maremor Marzutre would do a similar thing. They would work together to help each other out. If one person needed workers, the other one would go and be the hirer for them by saying the words, my friend who's told me to hire you guys, and he'll pay you. So that way, again, that neither they'll get out of this potential pitfall of finding themselves transgressing these prohibitions. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the Gemara continues. Hani Shukai Desura Lo Avri Mishum Bal Talim. There were employers that would only have money on the market day. That's when they would have money available to pay their workers. So they're not over. If they fail to pay, I hire a worker, days before the market when I have the money available, and I fail to pay my worker by the night afterwards, I wouldn't be transgressed Bal Talin. I haven't transgressed this. Why? Meida Yadi Da'al Yomer D'Shuka Samichi. Because whoever I'm hiring knows I don't have money until the day of the market. They know I don't have money. So. And it's in 3 days from now. So they know, and they agree to be workers for me. Okay. So the Gemara says, Aval Mishum Baltasha Vade over. But if the day of the market comes, you have the means available to pay. You have that cash. And you fail to pay him afterwards, now you've transgressed the prohibition that we've said that always is there of Baltasha, of don't delay. Don't delay payment. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to go back into the case in the Mishnah. Sacher shows gove kol alayla b'chol ayom. Amar Rav. Rav says, Sacher shows diyom gove kol ayom. Let's say a person works partial of the day. He works from sunrise to noon. his time to be paid is the remainder of that day. And if the person fails to, and if the employer fails to pay him by the end of the day, the employer has transgressed the prohibition. Sachar shows to Laila, person works from sunset to midnight, so the employer is supposed to pay him from midnight until day rise. Go vikol Laila. Vishmul Amar, no, it's not exactly. Sachar shows de yom, go vikol yom. He agrees. If the person is a sachar yom, shows de yom, if he is, he works partial, he's a part-time day worker, he works from sunrise to noon, then he's supposed to be paid for the remainder of the day. That's the time. But sachar shows to Laila, go v'kol Laila. But a sachar shows of Laila, go v'kol Laila v'kol Yom. If a person works from sunset to midnight, the time the employer has to pay him is the remainder of the night and the day follows. Okay. And as Rashi explains, Rashi says, why is Shmuel hold that this is going to be different? Why do you have the not just the remainder of the night, but the entire day afterwards? So Rashi explains, because that we know in many areas that what in halacha, that the night is really the beginning of the day. The next day is really a continuation of the unit of that entire 24-hour period. So Shmuel says, if the person worked at night, and he worked part of the night, so really the next day is a part of that unit of time, which you consider his day. So he holds that not only that the remainder of the night you have, but his day to be paid, since that's really his day that he started to work, since he started at the night before, and the following day is the completion of that 24-hour period in halacha. So it makes sense that the following day also is his day to be paid as well, and so we'll have that the remainder of the night and the day it follows. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look back in the Mishnah. We have this Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Sachar shows gova kol alayla b'chol ayom. Okay, you read the Mishnah simply, it sounds like tiyufta de Rav. It sounds like this is a refutation of Rav completely. Because it says, Sachar shows gova kol halayla b'chol ayom. A person works partial of the day, he gets paid. The time for him to be paid is the whole night and the whole day. And Rashi explains that Shmuel has an easy time with this. Shmuel said, yes, this is my person who works partial, he works part of the night. He works part of the night, so then he's going to be, his time to be paid is the remainder of the night, and the day follows. Very simple. But Rav has no way to read this Mishnah. He holds a person that works at the night, he's only going to, his time to be paid is only the remainder of the night, not the, also the day follows, that follows. So Amar Lach Rav. So Rav would answer Litzdalin Katani. It's not all one case. These are two distinct cases, and it's supposed to be understood like this. Sachar shows the yom gova kol yom. If a person works half time, partial time during the day, he collects the remainder of the day. Sachar shows the laila. If he works part time and partial time of the night, then gova kol laila. Then the remainder of the night is the time in which he's supposed to be paid. Okay. The Gemara now goes to a later part of the Mishnah, Tanan. So the later part of our Mishnah says, "Hayasachar Shabbos, Sachar Chodesh, Chodesh, Sachar Shana, Sachar Shavua." If a person hires a person for the entire week, the entire month, the entire year, or the entire 7-year period, Yotze B'Yom, if the person ends his work during the daytime, so the employer has the remainder of the daytime to pay him. Go v'kolala Yom, Yotze B'Laila. If he ends his work during the nighttime, so the employer has the go v'kol alayla v'kol ayom. The employer has the remainder of the night and the day that follows to pay him. So that's clearly not in accordance to Rav. This is like Shmuel. Amar lach Rav. So Rav says Tanahi. No. Okay, I have to admit. It is a machlokas Tanayim. But I'm holding like one opinion and Shmuel's holding like the other. Where do we find this machlokas Tanayim, this dispute amongst the Tanayim? The Tanya. Sachar shows the yom, go v'kol ayom. A person works half of the time during the day, that the remainder of the day is his time to be paid. Sachar shows to Laila, if he works from sunset to midnight, go with Kol Laila. Then he's supposed to be paid the remainder of the night. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Sachar shows to Yom, go with Kol Yom. If a person works the first half of the day, then the remainder of the day is the time he's supposed to be paid. Sachar shows to Laila, go with Kol Laila. If he works the first half of the night, he's supposed to be paid the remainder of the night. Ve'chol hayom afterwards. So that's the opinion of Shmuel. So the first opinion is like Rav, and the second opinion is like Shmuel. Okay, so that's how Rav has to answer. The Gemara continues. Mikan Amru, Kol HaKovish Sachar Sachir. Okay, so really that's the end of our issue with Rav and Shmuel. But the Gemara is now going to continue with the Braisa, and we're going to look more about what the Braisa is going to tell us about payments. Mikan Amru, from here they said, Kol HaKovish Sachar Sachir, anyone who withholds the schar sachir, the payment of his worker, he has transgressed five prohibitions and one positive commandment. What are they? Mishum. One is bal tashav, don't oppress esreyacha. That's one. Umishum bal tigzol, and another one is don't steal. Umishum bal tashav sachir ani, and one is don't withhold, don't oppress. Sachir ani, the wages of the impoverished worker. Umishum baltalin, and also of baltalin, and also of baltalin, of not letting over the wage through the night. Umishum biyomotitin scharo, and also the positive commandment that says you shall give his payment during his day, and also the last one. Umishum losova olav hashemesh, and the last one is that the sun should not come down, and you have failed to pay him. So the Gemara says a very strange thing, that it can't be that, as we discussed, it can't be that you're transgressed all of these. You can't have one case where you've transgressed all of these. Hani di ikav yomama lekav alayla. Some of them are applied to the day worker, not the night. Di ikav alayla lekav yomama. Some at the night don't apply to the day. These aren't, as we've explained from the beginning, these one is by the day worker and one is by the night worker. So Amar Rav Chisda, shame schiros ba'alma. True. When the Braisa goes and says you've transgressed five prohibitions, no one case can have all five. Just collectively, through all the cases possible, there are five prohibitions and one positive commandment in the laws of paying your worker on time. Okay. The Braisa continues. Ezuhu Oshik, the Ezu Gezel. What is Oshik and what is Gezel? These are two distinct things, withholding payment and stealing. Okay, so what's really the difference? These are two, these negative commands in the Torah. What are these? Am Rav Chisda, Leik Veshov, Leik Veshov. Rav Chisda says that Zehu Oshik. Oshik, withholding, is when you say go come back, you push him off, you just push him off. That's what that pasuk is referring to. Yeshlach biyadi ve'eni nosin lach. But if the case is, if I tell my worker I have your payment and I'm not going to give it to you, zehu gezel, that's stealing. Okay, those are the two cases. That's what we're talking about. Maskel Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes has a big issue over here. Ezu oshik shechayva lav Torah karban dumi de pikader. That these psukim, these negative commandments, they all have a corresponding potential karban, an offering that one would bring. If I, after being brought between my employer my worker, as one example, or another example is, let's say I have an object of someone else's, and the person says, "You have my object," and I say, "No, I don't," and I take a shvuah and based in. I go to the court and I take a shvuah, I take an oath, I deny it, and then I admit, you know, I was wrong. I took this oath in vain, and it was incorrect, and I lied. So then, as an atonement for me, I bring a karban. Okay, so all of these losahaseis, all these negative prohibitions, they correspond to this case, these cases where you can be brought in front of Beis Din and take an oath of denying it, and after admitting that you denied it, then atone by bringing a carbon. So if that's the case, that if we know that to be true, so how can you say Oshik? There's no denial. It has to be that you're denying him money. This isn't the case that you described about Oshik, about withholding, of that's what the losase is referring to, doesn't fit with the case, because we know it's gonna this prohibition really connects with a case. It's the lo sase of the case where you are, where you can be bringing a karban, and that surely would need that the case is that you are denying it. You're coming and you're denying it in Beis Din and then taking a shavua and then admitting afterwards. So it has to be duma yud bikadon, and bikadon where I have an object of someone else's and I'm denying that I owe him anything, and then I take the oath. Ela amar Rav Sheshes, the Gemara continues, nesati halach zehu oshik. The case is of oshik is where I say to my worker, I've already given to you. Okay, so I'm clearly denying. I'm denying that I owe you because I said I already gave it to you. Okay, yeshlach biyadi. The case of gezel, the case of stealing, is yeshlach biyadi. I have something of yours, and ve'eni nosin lach, and I'm not giving to you. Zehu gezel. That is gezel. Fine. Maskil the rabbi. Rabbi says there's something still an issue over here. Ezehu gezel. Gezel. The stealing. You haven't appropriately. Defined or correctly defined what the case of gezel of the Torah is, because we know gezel is also a case where if I steal from someone, or if I deny that I steal from someone, and then take an oath saying I never stole, and then admit that I did steal, then I have to bring a carbon. Shechayva lav Torah carbon dumi to bikadon, but inyan dekakafer le mamona. I need that I am. Denying that I owe him money, that I'm denying that I owe him money. And the case of gezel over here, as Rav Sheshes has continued to explain, is that you're not denying that you owe him money. You're saying I have what's yours, and I'm not giving it to you. So that's not how that can't be the case that sets up a potential case where you are brought in front of Beis Din, where you have transgressed this law, this prohibition of don't steal, because as we clearly see that the case of the Torah is going to be where you eventually are denying it. You're denying that you steal. But Rav Sheshes is saying, the case of gezel, you're never denying it. You're just saying, I have what's yours and I'm not giving it to you. We need to explain the case that you're denying it. Ela Amar Rabbi. Rabbi says, Lo secharticha me'olam zehu oshek. The case of oshik, the case of withholding, is when you say, if I say to my worker, I never hired you. So, okay, good, I'm denying it, right? And I'm withholding. Nisalti lach, I already gave to you, zehu gezel. That's gezel. Okay, so now Abai has appropriately determined that both cases are, you're denying it, and that sets up a potential where you're in front of Beis Din denying it, taking an oath and denying it, and then admitting afterwards, and those are the cases where you're going to bring a carbon afterwards. Okay, so we've appropriately determined what these prohibitions are, the cases they're talking about. Rav Sheshes, Maishna Oshik de Kashalei, or Maishna Gezel de Lo Kashalei. So Rav Sheshes clearly, he had a question in the beginning. He had to rephrase what the case of Oshik, what the case of withholding payment is, but he had no trouble with Gezel. He let that stay as being a case of, I have what's yours and I'm not giving it to you. Where he was okay with saying that it's not a case of denying it. That you don't have to term the case of Gezel, the law of Gezel, the prohibition of Gezel, is where I'm ever denying it. But Abai brings question to that, and so why was Rav Sheshes only bothered by Oshik and needed to return Oshik and needed to return withholding payment and wasn't bothered by rephrasing the case of Gezel of stealing? So the Gemara says, Amar lach, Gezel de Gazle, the case of Gezel is where you steal it, v'hadar kafre, you steal it and then you deny. So the case of Gezel is where my first interaction with him, I'm transgressing something because I'm not denying it, I'm stealing it from him, I'm openly stealing from it, I'm not denying it, then in front of Beis Din, then I am denying it. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi, why couldn't we have done that by Oshik? Ihachi, I feel Oshik, even withholding payment. We don't have to say the case is denying it. Well, we can understand we have certain prohibitions that exist outside of before me and my employee and my worker. We come in from a basin. I'm telling him things. I'm saying I don't owe you any money. I could admit, I could rather say to him." I'm not going to pay you. I know I owe you money. I'm not going to pay you. I come in front of Beis Din and I deny it. That'll be the case. And when I deny in front of Beis Din, I take the oath, and then I admit that I lied with that oath in front of Beis Din, that's the case that I'm obligated to bring a carbon. But that's But it could be that the prohibition that exists outside of Bezim before I come could be one of where I'm not necessarily I need to be denying anything. So that could have also existed by Oshik. So why did you need to change the case of Oshik, Rav Sheshes? So Rav Sheshes, so Gemara explains in behalf of Rav Sheshes, Hachi Hashta. Wait a second, Bishloma. It makes sense. Hasam. We could explain Gezel like this. Ksiv O Begezel Mechlal De Odi Le Meikara, that it says O Begezel, as Rashi explains. Looking in Rashi, Rashi explains Hachi Garcinan Hachi Hashta Bishlama Hasam O Begezel Ksiv. Rashi says V'chichesh Hashta Mechlal. Now it implies De Odi Le Meikara, where you admitted to him that you're stealing from him in the beginning. Kolomar V'chichesh, you're denying Bamiso in your friend Begezel. In with the base in front, in the gezel, the ma shahaya goes low, ad ata, in that which you are stealing openly in front of him, from him until now, b'toras gezel, by just stealing from him, by saying I'm not giving to you, chichesh achshav. Now you're denying. Now in front of Beis Din, the pasuk is talking about in front of Beis Din. Now you're denying it. Okay, so we can understand. That's why the prohibition of lo sigzol can be understood don't steal. That you're openly stealing from him, and then what the story continues when you're in front of Beis Din. Now you're denying all of this. Okay, but aval gabi oshik, but by withholding payment, we can't see this being implied from the pasuk. We can't read this into the verse. Miksiv o be oshik, it doesn't say that special base, the base which all of this can be implied from. O be oshik, o osha, o ashak siv, sha ashko kvar. That the verse sounds like what you're doing to him now, you've done all the time. So what you're doing to him now in front of Beis Din, where you need to be denying him to then be obligated to bring a karban, you need to be denying it and then taking an oath in denial. So it must be that you were denying it the whole time, even from outside of Beis Din, from before you came in front of Beis Din. Okay. Rava says, you know what? This is all. There's no issues over here. We don't have to get involved explaining what are the differences of the two cases. Zeu Oshik, Zeu Gezel. It's the same thing. Oshik withholding payment and stealing, they're all the same case. V'lama chelken akasiv, and why? So why the Torah has two prohibitions? Lava or lava shnei lava, just so that a person who fails to pay or is withholding the payment, that he's transgressed two prohibitions. That's all. Simple. Okay. The Mishnah continues. We're going to talk about more wage issues. Echad schar adam v'echad schar behema v'echad schar kelim. Whether it's schar adam, whether it's the wages of a person, the wages if I rent someone's animal, or I rent his vessels, if I fail to pay the owner of the animal or the vessels, just like him, the owner himself, if I would use him as a worker, yesh bo mishum biyomotit in scharo. I have the mitzvah, positive commandment to biyomotit in scharo, and the day you shall pay. If I rent from him at night, I have to in the next morning, I have that whole daytime. I have the positive commandment to pay him during the day. And I also have the negative prohibition if I fail to pay him at any time during the night. When is this all true that I have these prohibitions that we've been talking about, a failure to pay at the time after he's done working? It's only if the worker is coming to me and claiming and demanding payment. But if he's not, I don't have to go rush out. I have, it's a binding obligation, debt to pay him. But in terms of the prohibition, it's not, it only is activated when he's claiming and he's demanding payment from me. Lo tovu, eino over olav. So if he doesn't claim it, I haven't transgressed it. Hem cheyu esel chenveni. Let's say my worker, as a way of paying him, I just say, go to the grocer and tell him I'm going to, I'll pay him for the groceries that he's going to give you, and that's going to be your payment. So that for sure is going to work as a way of paying him and absolving yourself of your debt to him. Oh, Elso Shulchani, Eino over Olav. You haven't transgressed the prohibition. Sacher Bizmano Nishba Venotas. We explained that there's a special right of a worker to claim that he, if he has a dispute with, as to what his wages are, he is able to take an oath and collect what he is claiming with a shvua, with an oath, bizmano, only in the time immediately afterwards that he is done working. But if that time passes, that he no longer has this right to be able to be believed with this oath and based in, and therefore get the and get the wage that he is claiming. If there are edim, if there are witnesses that he has claimed bizmano in the time, in the time that he is in the let's say if he's a night worker in the daytime afterwards. So even though we've only, you know, we're not in front of Beis Din right now, he didn't have the opportunity to take the oath, but he at least tried to. He tried to get the process started. He tried to make this claim. He still upholds this right to be able to take the oath and get the amount that he is claiming. Continues the Mishnah. Ger Toshav Yesh Bo Mishum BeYamati Din Zchara. What happens to Ger Toshav? Someone who he's a non-Jew, lives in the land of Israel, lives amongst the Jews. He's accepted upon himself not to do avodah zarah, not to do idolatry, but he eats nevelas and trefas. He eats non-kosher food, so he hasn't been megayer. He's just accepted himself not to do avodah zarah. So you have the prohibition. You have the mitzvah aseh. If you hire this person to pay him in his day, ve'ein bo mishum lo salim pula sacher itchad boker. But you don't have a negative prohibition if you fail to pay him. Okay. The Gemara says, "Money masnisin." Who is this Mishnah that sets it up like this? Lo Tana kamen v'achecha. It's not like the first Tana of a brisa that will state it shortly of a brisa called me'achecha. V'lo Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and not Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Ma'i. So what does the Gemara mean by these two possible opinions? It's a Tanya. Me'achecha prat la'cherim. We're now going to look into the verse and glean a lot of halachas from the verse regarding wages. It says me'achecha prat la'acherim. It says that you hire your brother, so not acherim, not non-Jews, not an Ovid Kochavim, someone who worships idol, is an idolater. Gericha ze ger tzedek. Gericha, this is a ger tzedek. This is a person who a non-Jew is, who's now Jewish. He's a complete he's a convert. Bisharecha, ze ochol nevelos. Bisharecha, this verse is coming to include a person who is ochol nevelos. He is a ger toshav. He's in your gates. He lives amongst you because he's not worshiping idols anymore, but he's not a Jew. Ein li ela schar adam, minay l'rabos behinu v'kelim. I only know schar adam. How do I know that I also have the prohibition if I hire a person for his animal or his vessels and I don't pay him? Tamar lomar ba'artzecha. It says ba'artzecha, in your land. Kol sh'ba'artzecha, anything in your land. Not just people, but hiring people's vessels and people's animals. V'kulin overim b'chol ha'shemos halalu. And you're on all these things that we've aforementioned. You have all the prohibitions that exist. Mikan amru echad zchar adav, echad zchar behema, ve'echad zchar kelim. From here they said, whether you're hiring a person for his animals or for his vessels, you have the prohibition of Yom Titin Scharo, on the day you shall give his wage, and you have the prohibition of don't leave the wage until the morning. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ger Toshav, Yesh Mishum B'Yom Titin Scharo, Ve'ein Bo Mishum Lo Talin. And you have the, for Ger Toshav, you have the positive commandment of Yom Titin Scharo, but you do not have the negative one of Lo Salin, of don't let the wage stay over. Behema v'kelim ein behem elam yishum bal tashek. But hiring a person for his animal or for his vessels, failure to pay, you only have the prohibition of bal tashek, don't withhold. Bavai. So the Gemara says money. Itana kama de me'achecha. If it's the first opinion of this brisa, it's quoted at the very top of this Amud. This person, kasha ger toshav. Because this person says, Ger Toshav has all the prohibitions. Oh, but our Mishnah says Ger Toshav does not have it. If you hire a Ger Toshav, a non-Jew who has not accepted, who has rather accepted to not do avodah zarah, to not do idolatry, so you only have the positive commandment of Biyomo Titin Scharo, on the day you shall give his payment. But not all the other ones, but this, the first opinion holds, he has all the prohibitions like any other worker. So it can't be that, our Mishnah can't be like that opinion. Rabbi Yossi kasha behem v'kelim. But Rabbi Yossi, the second opinion in that brisa, says behem and kelim, if you hire a person for his animals or his vessels, you don't have the you only have one prohibition. But our Mishnah says you have all the prohibitions, so it doesn't fit. Amar Rava, hi Tana, Tana Devei Bishmalhu. Rava says our Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, is a third opinion. It's the Tana of Devei Bishmal, the Tana from the house of Rabbi Bishmal. The Tana Devei Bishmal, Echad Zchar Adam, Echad Zchar Behema, Echad Zchar Kelim. Whether a person, you hire a person, or you hire a person's animals or vessels, and fail to pay, Yesh Mishum Biyamotitin Zchara, Mishum Bat Lo Salim. You have all the prohibitions, the positive and the negative commandment. Ger Toshav Yeshbu Mishum Biyamotitin Zcharo. A Ger Toshav, you have Biyomo only Biyomotitin Zcharo. Vein Bo Mishum Baltalin. But you don't have the negative commandment of don't leave his payment overnight. Okay, so that clearly lines up with what our Mishnah holds. That by Ger Toshav, there's only a positive commandment, but hiring a person for his vessels and animals, you have all the prohibitions just like hiring a person himself. Okay, the Gemara goes, how do these opinions arrive at these outcomes? My time at Tana Kama de Mechecha. What's the reason of the first opinion of this, the Braisa quoted at the top of the Amid? That he really has all of the, everything has all of the prohibitions, whether it's people, animals, vessels, non-Jews have accepted not to do Avodah Zarah. How does he know all this? Gomer Sacher Sacher. He learns Sacher Sacher. That one pasuk says Sacher in Devarim, and it also says Sacher in Vayikra. So just like from the pasuk of Devarim that we know that includes a Ger Toshav. So just like he has this mitzvah of Biyomo, Biyomo Titin Zcharo. So too it connects it to all of the other prohibitions in Sefer Vayikra of Lo Salim Pula Sachir, don't leave the payment overnight. So that's how we know we've included him from the pasuk in Sefer Devarim of Bishar Recha, and in that pasuk says the word Sachir. So we're connecting that through Gzer Shava to a pasuk in the other pasuk in Sefer Vayikra where it has all the other prohibitions. So we know that the person of the non-Jew is accepted to not do idolatry is included in all of these prohibitions. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda lo gamer sacher sacher. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't make this gezeirah shavah. He doesn't connect these two psukim and the halachas that have been included from the pasuk of biyomo titin zchara on the day you shall give his payment aren't included in. Don't extend beyond that. Nihi de lo gamer sacher sacher. Okay, maybe he doesn't connect it to a pasuk in Vayikra, which says Lo Salim Pula Sachir, don't leave the payment overnight. But he's included it in a pasuk in Devarim. There are two pasukim back to each other. The one pasuk, it's in verse Yuddal from chapter 24:14 and verse 14 and verse 15 back to back. With the first verse 14, we've understood from the pasuk that it includes a non-Jew who's accepted not to do idolatry, and then the next pasuk afterwards says biyomo titin zchara, the positive commandment to give the payment on his day. So if you've included So the Gemara says Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, he said that but in terms of if you hire a person for his animals and vessels, you don't have a positive commandment of biyomo titin zcharo. But if we've included ba'artzicha, rather, the Braisa at the beginning said ba'artzicha, anything in your land. So anything in your land includes the animals and vessels that you of a person that you would hire. So, but then the next pasuk continues biyomo titin zcharo, on its day you shall give his wage. So how can Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda come with an outcome that vessels which have been included from the previous pasuk of the verse 14 in chapter 24 in Devarim, that the verse 15 right afterwards, that he doesn't see that everything that has been included in verse 14 don't have the positive commandment that we find in verse 15. So how can he come with that outcome? Nami nechayev, tani Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina explains, Amakra, the pasuk says, V'lo savo olav ha-shemesh ki anihu. It's the pasuk in verse 15 says, you should give it on his day because he's impoverished. Because he's impoverished. So it's Mishahain Bindli the Aninos, Fashios. It's only people who are impoverished. That's what the mitzvah positive commandment is saying. People that are impoverished. Vessels and animals are not people, are not things that can be rich or poor. It's only people themselves. So that's why he knows that vessels and people, hiring a person's vessels and people, vessels and animals, don't carry with it the positive commandment of paying on its day. Yatsu behem of akelim she'inam bindli de anias vashiros. V'tana kama, so he's not bothered by this. He still includes vessels and animals. He doesn't understand the pasuk this way. Hai ki anihu. He doesn't understand as a limitation to only things that can be poor or rich, and he doesn't exclude. He doesn't make this exclusion like Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. So my avilei, what does he do with this verse? Hahu me bayalei lahakdim ani laashir. He uses this verse to say that if you have two people to pay, you have two workers, a rich person and a poor person. So, and you can only pay one of them. You pay the poor person. Okay, that's how we understand that verse to be saying. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he understands. He doesn't. Where does he get that? He also agrees to that idea. Where does he get it from? Hahu milosa shok sacher ani ve'evyo nafka. He learns from a different verse, the previous pasuk where it says ani. Don't lo sashok. Don't withhold the wage of the ani the evyon. That there are really three people. There's a rich person, there's a poor person, and a very impoverished person. The evyon. So, and the ani, just a poorer person, has precedent over he has precedent to give him over the more impoverished person. We'll explain why. It seems counterintuitive, but we'll explain why. So that's where I know it from. The Tanakama needs two psukim. Chad lahaktim ani la'ashir. One to say if you have between a middle person and a poor person and a rich person, that the ani wins. Chad lahaktim ani la'avin. One is to say if you have a ani, you have two workers, an ani and a very impoverished person, you have to pay the ani first. So why, just to take a step back, why both everyone is agreeing that if you have an ani and a more impoverished person, you pay the ani, the less person is in dire straits is because the person who's in real dire straits, he's used to asking and he's not embarrassed. So that the Torah sees that he's going to force it and find a means to be paid. But the person who is he's in a difficult circumstance, he needs the money, but he's not used to going and pushing and demanding, so he'll feel embarrassed. So that's why the Torah says you should be paying him first. Okay. To a little further, or?
Whoever has to leave.
Well, I guess.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Five more minutes.
So, V'iyash. So, the Gemara says, so, V'itzricha. And why? And the Tanakhama explains, so I need two psukim to show me this. To show me that there is a precedent that the ani has over the ashir, of the rich person, and the ani over the more impoverished person. Diashmin Evyon, Mishum de Lokasif. If I tabi by Evyon, because I know why an Evyon, an Ani should have precedence over an Evyon, the more impoverished person, because the more impoverished person is not embarrassed to make a claim. Of al Ashir, the Kasiv Lemitbe, but an Ashir and Ani, they both are embarrassed to make this claim, to ask of their employer money. So I don't know that a Ani has more precedent over a rich person. Aim alone. So maybe the Torah is not telling me that that the ani should be paid over the usher, over the wealthy person. V'yash me'inan, asher, and if it taught me asher, v'shum delot zarechle. But if it just said, you know, you have a ani and an usher and a wealthy person, so you have to pay the ani first, maybe that's just because the usher, the wealthy person, doesn't need. Aval evyon, but both an ani, both a poor person, he needs money, and an evyon, a very impoverished person, they both need money, so how do I know that the ani is perceived the evyon? So tzricha, v'tana didan. Okay, so and now we're going to a little bit to explain where the tana of our mishnah, how he arrives at the psukim. Tana didan manavshach I yalav sachir sachir. If he learns the gzeirah shava connecting sachir sachir, that we include the ger toshav that's been included from the pasuk of lo sashok sachir, and we include it from bisharecha, he's someone that's amongst your gates, because he lives with you now, because he's not, he doesn't worship avodah zarah, he doesn't do idolatry. Afilu ger toshav nami. So you ger toshav, just like you include, just, we have explained that behem and kelim are included from this pasuk of losashok. Don't withhold the payment. Be'artzecha, the pasuk says, in your land, anything in your land, including vessels and people and animals of a person. So, and the Tanna of our Mishnah holds that vessels and people, they have all the vessels and animals of a person have all the prohibitions of withholding payment. But also included that is the ger toshav, the person who doesn't do avodah zarah. So, but the Tanna of our Mishnah doesn't include him in all of the having all of the prohibitions. So how can he arrive at that? If you include everything that's been understood from the pasuk of lo sashok sacher ani, then included in that is not just animals and renting a person's animals and vessels, but also if I would engage a non-Jew to work for me. So how can he pick and choose? So minale. And if he doesn't make the gezeirah shava, how would he know to know that? How would he know that behemah v'nekelim, if I rent a person's animals and vessels, that they have all the prohibitions? La'olam lo yalev sacher sacher. Really, he doesn't learn the gezeirah shava. He doesn't make this gezeirah shava to include everything that we have understood from the pasuk in Parshas Kitzeitze, to the things that we find in Parshas Kedosha and Sefer Vayikra. Vishani Hasam. So how does he know behemah and kelim? The Amakra, Velosalim Pula Sacher Idcha Ad Boker. The pasuk says, just in Sefer Vayikra, it says Losalim, don't leave our Pula Sacher Idcha. It says Idcha. So it says anything Idcha. So Rashi says, it's an extra pasuk. Pulas sacher itzecha, and it comes to include even animals and vessels. A person's animals and vessels. Ihachi afilu ger toshav nami. So amar kra re'echa re'echa. So maybe itzecha, this extra pasuk, can also include that if you hire a non-Jew who is accepted to not do avodah zarah, that you would also have a prohibition of a losal and don't leave the payment overnight. No, because the pasuk says re'echa, your friend, your common Jew, not this person. Below ger toshav. He's also not a person. He's not your friend. He's not a Jew. He's an animal. So how do we know that he has all these prohibitions of losalin, of withholding payment overnight? Haksiv itzecha. But the pasuk, we have an extra pasuk that says itzecha, that it's coming to include. Okay, ma rois. Why do I know which way to go? My rois l'rabos behenu v'keilim. How do I know that it's coming to include animals and vessels to have all the prohibitions? L'hotzi ger toshav, but to exclude ger toshav from having all the prohibitions. Mistabra, it makes sense. Behema v'kelim, havalei l'rabos. Why? Shekein yeshanam b'chalal maman re'acha. It makes sense to include, to understand that behema v'kelim is coming to include animals and vessels because they are part of re'acha. They're part of your friend, your common Jew's money, his assets. Ger toshav eino b'chalal maman re'acha. And ger toshav, that's not b'chalal Mamad Riacha, he's not your Jew, he's not part of that pasuk, he's not your common Jew's property, he's another individual, a non-Jew has lived in your land. Okay. What?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know who's... Okay, so I guess he'll...
I remember him. Mm-hmm. What's your name, sir?
David Weisberg.
Weisberg.
Weisberg. Yeah. Thank you.